Good morning to you all, whether you are joining us here live for Pentecost worship, joining us online at this time, or worshipping through this service at a later time. It's good that we are gathered together to worship God on this day of Pentecost. As you look at the screen on the right-hand side, you will see a banner. That will explain why you don't ever use Pillar Box Red on PowerPoint, because it just doesn't work. However, that particular banner is a bright red Pentecost banner with the dove in the middle and the flames and the apostles on the original day of Pentecost at the bottom. And the original of that is hanging in St. Barnabas Church, Bearwood, where our recent curate, Peter Myers, is now the vicar. So you can imagine Peter standing beside the real version of that banner. And as we worship here, you'll be able to remember Peter worshipping with his folks down in Bearwood next to that banner. You will be pleased to know that there really are no notice slides this morning. You've got to read the online notices because I haven't been given anything else. But the one thing I do know is that next Saturday evening there is a fundraising quiz at the Littleton Well, raising money for the counselling service there. So it would be really good to have lots of people. You don't have to come as a team. We'll put you in a team when you arrive at the Littleton Well, 7 o'clock next Saturday evening. I think that's all I need to say about that particular notice. And we're going to finish off today with a good Pentecost hymn, which was written by General William Booth. O God of burning, cleansing flame, just like the banner. We have sung it here, but I'm conscious that we haven't sung it for several years because something called coronavirus sort of got in the way. And I wouldn't want our brothers and sisters in the Salvation Army to think that we couldn't sing their hymn properly. So Janet is going to play it through, and then we'll just remain seated and have a little practice of the first verse. As ever, my bits in yellow, all of us in white. On this day of Pentecost, be with us, Spirit of God. Nothing can separate us from your love. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with your saving power. Speak in us, wisdom of God. Bring strength, healing, and peace. The Lord is here. So we pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So let's stand for our first time of musical worship. And as we come into the presence of God, invited there by his grace and not because of our own merits, let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's sit or kneel for prayer. And so as we reflect on the things that we've perhaps got wrong in the last week, let's pray for forgiveness together as we say, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, slow to anger, and forgiving all who are truly sorry, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now Patience is going to come and read a couple of chunks of scripture.
This morning's readings are taken from Ephesians and Galatians. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the love of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
think there's just one prayer this morning which I pray. It's just three words. Come, Holy Spirit. Just murmur those words in your heart. Breathe them into your soul, into your body. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you. Put yourself in that large space in a house somewhere in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, 33 AD. I wonder how you see the faces of those apostles and the others, believers who were with them on that day of Pentecost. Bewildered, fearful, uncertain, the future, what's going to happen to us? Let's read these verses together, which we've got here. Can we say these words together from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And I think we've got an icon coming up. This is a 15th century Russian icon. And anyone who has computers knows what an icon is, because you press a button and it opens up another world. This is what an icon is. It opens up the world of the Spirit, the world of God, of Christ, of the Holy Spirit. And what I love about this icon, and afterwards I've got this one here which you could just look at more closely, but what I love about it is the way that they're very calm, these 12 apostles. They're sitting, but they're going in different directions. There's a certain bewilderment and wondering what on earth is happening. But there are these 12 beams of light from heaven, of fire, coming down on them. So what we have here is they're all together in one place, as we've just read. The Spirit's coming to them in one place, but the Spirit's coming to each one personally. And that's what I love about this. We're together this morning. We're together to worship with so many others in Morven and round this planet Earth. And yet, each one of us has a different way of receiving the Spirit. The one, the many. And this little, at the bottom, you wonder, what on earth is that figure? Actually, it's called the cosmos, the world. It's the king of the world, and it's in darkness. And the king there is holding the 12 scrolls that they are holding, those who wrote the Gospels have got the big, big one, but the others are holding the small one. Those are the 12 scrolls, the Gospel, to go out into all the world. But it's a world of darkness. It's a fearsome world. And it's a world where we take the Gospel in the Spirit. So that is very much, saying all of this really is so that we are equipped to go out and to be effective ministers of the Gospel. The word Spirit is a Hebrew word, and it's the word Ruach. Isn't that a wonderful word? Ruach. It means Spirit, wind, and breath. Ruach. Ruach. See if you can say it. Ruach. Ruach. It's a wonderful word. This is the Spirit, and it's interesting, isn't it, in our reading, it came, the wind and the fire, those two things, the wind and the fire, from heaven. This is the Spirit from the very heart of God himself, the Ruach of God. And someone yesterday at our men's breakfast, I was sharing what I was going to share this morning with a small group, and one fellow said, it was beautiful, he said, the coming of the Spirit, like here in this icon or in the scripture we've read, it's a bit like an organ. The organ's got lots of pipes. Pipes we see, hidden pipes. I'm glad there's so many hidden as well, because that's what we're all, you know, so much of what we do in life is hidden, isn't it? But some of it is seen. But these are what produce the music. These are the many different sounds, all different. But there is the one organ, the one instrument that holds it all together. And the Holy Spirit, as my friend said, is the organist or the conductor, both those really. But isn't it a beautiful way of seeing the Holy Spirit? I just pass that on to you. Now, you're going to work hard the next 20 minutes. And I hope you're ready to work hard. So you've really got to wake up. Have you all got one of these yellow sheets? Anybody not got one? Well done. So, I've got 13 bullet points. And what I'm suggesting is that you take this home after today's service. Maybe take one of these or two for the next day or two. Just dwell in it. Which one touches you? Which of these is the Spirit saying, Paul, this is for you now. Someone else, this is for you. So it's just listening to the Spirit. What is the Spirit saying to us? And did you know that the Bible begins and ends with the Holy Spirit? I've only just realized this as I sat down to prepare this. It begins with the Holy Spirit in chaos. And we're going to, Jeff is going to just go round. He's got the microphone. I'm getting different ones of you. Like in that Pentecostal gathering, everybody has the Spirit on each, the wind, the fire, and we're all just going to have different readings. And Jeff's got the roving microphone. I mean, do you want to start off, Jeff, with the first one? It's called In Chaos.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
And the word for Spirit is...
Ruach.
Ruach. Ruach. That's the word in the first two verses of the Bible. The Ruach of God, hovering like a great eagle, like this eagle up here on the right-hand side of our window, a great eagle hovering over her young. And when they fall, picking them up, shielding them, and protecting them. The Spirit hovers over the chaos. Another translation says, this is Peterson, the earth is a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. Where's the Spirit of God? Surely not involved with that mess. And yet the Spirit hovers over this mess and chaos. Sometimes you and I might feel, actually my life's a bit chaotic. There's a lot of darkness in all of us, that's our human nature. There's a lot in us which is shadow, which goes up one day, goes down another. St. Paul talked with himself about fears within, fightings without. Gosh, this is the life. This is chaotic life, but it's also life that's where the spirit hovers. It's an upside down life, and God's spirit hovers over your and my darkness, the darkness of Ukraine, the darkness of this world today. The spirit of God is hovering. What else gives the people of Ukraine the courage to keep going? What else? Now we come to the last scripture in the Bible, and we're going to have another reader, I think. Well done.
Overflowing. Hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts.
Oh, wait a minute.
I thought you wanted the last one. Is that right?
We want number two in our thirst.
Sorry, big pardon. Sorry.
So sorry.
I thought you said the last.
No, that's going to be the last one. Yeah.
In our thirst, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. Let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much. Beautifully read. And it's just that longing, isn't it? A thirst. You're in church. I'm in church this morning actually because I'm thirsty. Thirsty for God. Thirsty for more of God's Spirit. Thirsty for all the dry bits in me that just somehow don't easily go away. As a deer longs for flowing streams, it's Psalm 42, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for the living God. Where can I find the face of Christ, face of God? Where? And those wonderful words in John chapter 7. Jesus, on that great feast of the tabernacles, he stands up and he says, if anyone thirsts, let her come to me and drink. And out of your, and I love the original, out of your belly, we translate it in much sort of a more comfortable way, out of your heart. But the word is belly, out of your inner belly. Flows streams of living water. I only learnt last week when the lady was here who had a lot to do with these windows, and on the rear door she pointed out that at the bottom of the figure of Christ there are four rivers, like the rivers of Eden, flowing out, and the waters coming like Revelation 22 from the throne of God, flowing to us. It's the waters of the Spirit. When the Spirit says, come, let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift, come, come. So Lord, we just pray this morning, come to my chaos, come to my thirst. So need you, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, come, Holy Spirit, come. So how does the Spirit work in us? I'm just put down a few suggestions here, and each one is one or two of these will, you know, may just find a home in you, or you might say about a lot of them, gosh, you know, this means something to me, because our third one, it's a lovely word which I get from my wife actually, about the Spirit giving a nudge. It's not a great voice from heaven, it's a nudge. I just feel something in me. And it's not really me, it's the Spirit. I need to listen, often don't, but I need to. So, who have we got now to read this one? Thank you so much, Derek.
A nudge. Paul and his companions were trying to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. That's from Acts. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit, from Galatians.
I was talking on the phone this last week with through email with a couple who moved house, and then it fell through, and then something else fell through, and now they've got somewhere. And interestingly enough, they were saying, he and his wife were saying, it's a bit like this Acts 16, where, you know, St. Paul didn't really know where to go to. He thought he was to go up there in Turkey, go up north. And the Spirit here says, what does the Spirit say? The Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. It was a bit more than a nudge, actually. It was quite powerful. It's the only time in the Bible where the phrase, the Spirit of Jesus, is found. You won't find anywhere else. It's a beautiful phrase. The Spirit of Jesus, Spirit Jesus, would not allow them. However that happened, a big nudge, a shove maybe. And so, of course, as we know, they go west to the coast, and the whole of Europe calls them to bring the gospel. I don't know what to do, sometimes we might say. I don't know what to say to this person. I don't know how to answer that email. I just do not know how to advise my son, my daughter, how to help my granddaughter or son who's so struggling. I don't know. And you just say, Lord, give me a nudge. Give me a nudge. It's risky. It's risky. But you go for it. And very often it's just the thing that is needed. The next one, I love this one. It's wow. It's wow. Do you know, I wrote a little poem on this. I'm going to read it to you. I got up early one morning to empty the rubbish bin. It was dawn. I opened the front door, taking the rubbish to the bin. A sudden blast of wet wind confronts my flesh and bones, a kind of unexpected early morning surprise to the new day. Tree shaking and wildness in the air. I close the door. It's a human response. Then a few moments later, gently open it again, and a gentle breeze of early morning air meets me. The birds are singing again. The trees seem to open their arms. And somehow both experiences, in such a brief space of time, remind me, so is everyone born of the Spirit. Sometimes you open the door and there's a wind and a blast. That's the Spirit. That's the Ruach. You close it, you open it again, and it's the Ruach as a breath, as a breeze, gentle. So is everyone born of the Spirit, says Jesus. We all need the blasts. We all need the breeze. So is everyone born of the Spirit. I don't know how the blast comes to you in life. I asked Diana for permission just to share this, because sometimes the Spirit does just get you. It may have happened to some of you, and it'd be lovely to share it over coffee or something like that, once or twice in a lifetime. Diana's mother, Doreen, beautiful lady, but she had a brain tumour, and for the last 40 years of her life, she died in her mid-90s, her face was affected. She couldn't laugh, so when she laughed, she'd have to put up her hand like this so you couldn't see her face. Her eyes all the time having to have drops put into them. She longed for healing, who wouldn't? And one evening I remember we took her up to a healing service up in London, and we were at this healing service, and a man called Don Latham was leading, and he said, now you brought people, okay, gather round them and just begin to pray for them. And Don Latham, the leader, came up to Diana and me and said, I'm going to join you and pray for your mum, Diana. So we started praying for her, and then Don Latham said, you know, pray in the Spirit. Pray with tongues. Just let go. Rarely pray. He turned to me and said, come on, Paul, do you pray in tongues? I said, no. I knew Diamond did. So I said, no. He said, well, Spirit's going to give it to you. Sure enough, he did. I had a release of the Spirit. I, who'd brought my mother-in-law to be healed, got a healing in myself and was released. Now, this isn't for everybody. We have different ways. But just sometimes the Spirit touches you and you just know, gosh, Lord, thank you. She never got, someone said to me, as I shared this yesterday morning at our breakfast, I said to this little group, one of them, they said, well, was she healed? I said, she was, not the way we expected. The end of her life, she came into such a deep peace, deep healing, and as she was dying, and I saw her dead, her lying dead, all the lines in her face, all the crookedness she'd had for 40 years had gone, and her face was bathed in light and love and peace. Praise God. That's the blast of the Spirit. Be open to the blast. And I guess some of you have had it. We had someone staying with us last week, and she said, what changed my life, her name was Irene, was when I heard my name, Irene, spoken by God. Irene. And then the voice said, live your name. The name Irene, Irene in Greek, is peace. Live your name. Isn't that wonderful? That was a blast of the Spirit. Praise God, we need the blast just as they had the blast at Pentecost. The next one, we're going to hurry through these last few. It's just, I put the words so difficult, just no words. Is there someone who could read this? Thank you so much.
Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit.
Thank you so much. This just takes us, doesn't it, in the heart of countries where people are arrested and have to face trial. So many without a proper trial as well. They don't have words, but here's the promise of Jesus. Whatever's given to you, it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit. Do you sometimes feel, I don't know what to say to this person? I just do not know. Lord, help me. Be the Spirit who speaks through me. Nazanine Zaghari Radcliffe, 6 years in jail, and she was asked on the radio the other day, what sustained you? She said, the first thing to sustain me is my faith, a Muslim faith. 5 times a day, a Muslim prays to God. She said, that is what sustained me in those 7 months of solitary confinement, a cell 2 by 1 meters. Prayer. The Holy Spirit. There are no words, but the Spirit sustains. Lord, give us the prayer when we, give us the words when we don't know what words to use. Give them to us, your Holy Spirit. Give it to those on our hearts. China, Iran, Ukraine, Russia, so many places. Your Holy Spirit, give those words. Oh, we're moving on. Number 6 is the breath of Jesus, the divine breath. You've got someone else. You're doing so well, Jeff. Paul, thank you.
Breath of Jesus. Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit.
And it's interesting, it's in the context of our icon and that little figure at the bottom, because he goes on to say, as my Father sent me, I send you. Jesus breathes in order to send out. The breath of Jesus, the divine breath. Breathe on me, breath of God. till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Just let Jesus breathe. Jackie was saying a beautiful thing to me before the service. The breath of Jesus breathes us into the world. And at the end of our lives, the breath of Jesus draws us back to the heart of God. Wonderful to have Janet to pray that for us after many weeks of not seeing her or having her been in our prayers, Janet. That was so beautiful. Breath of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Who's going to read this? Jeff, well done. Someone there. Jackie, thank you.
Jesus is Lord. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
This is just three words. What is it in 1 Corinthians 12? Is it? I think it is. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. Just these three words, Jesus is Lord. Of course, everybody around them was saying Caesar is Lord. If you were caught doing this, you'd be well, wherever they took you. These are profound words, aren't they? Actually, the whole of the Holy Trinity is in these three words, because it's Jesus, the human Jesus, it's the Lord God Almighty, the Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit who enables us to say it. Just breathe these words inside you to start with, then we'll say them aloud, just to, over the world, over my life, over my family, over my anguishes, over my joys. Just breathe, Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Only the Spirit can give you this. Only the Spirit gives us the courage. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Now let's say it together. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful way, isn't it, of just acknowledging Jesus and the whole next Sunday, Trinity Sunday. Come to church. Jesus is Lord. You say it through the Holy Spirit. Love this next bit, always there. We're back in, well done.
Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Mm. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there.
Mm. Wonderful, thank you. You know, sometimes it's amazing, Psalm. I've often thought that it was the writer saying, help, I want to escape from God. Let me get up to even heaven or even hell or wherever. It's not that at all. Isn't it wonderful? Wherever I go, God is. Wherever I go. There's nowhere I can go this week where God is not. Even as the psalm says, in my darkness, because my darkness, Lord, is not dark to you. My night is as bright, is your brightness of day comes into my night. I love what the Queen said when she was asked what sustains you. She said three things: faith, family, friends. Interesting she said faith first, wasn't it? What darkness our sovereign has been through in her life, yet somehow always held faith in this wonderful way. This next one, making Jesus real. How do I... Jesus sometimes can seem so distant, so far away. How can he be drawn nearer to me? How can I know that he's really with me, even in church this morning? How do I know he's here? Okay, we're going to have bread and wine. That's going to be wonderful, but how do I know? Can we have the next?
Making Jesus real. Jesus said, "The Spirit will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you."
I just love this scripture because, Lord, when you seem so distant sometimes, Lord, may your Spirit make Jesus real. Even this morning, make Jesus real in our midst, not least through the bread and wine, through the worship, through each other, through beautiful things around us, but may Jesus be real. And the next one is one we've just had it read to us, actually, beautifully read by Patience. Be filled.
Be filled. Be very careful, then, how you live. Be filled with the Spirit, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Beautiful, as Peter, who's done so much to put this service together, and he and I were preparing this, sharing, praying together, he said, yes, the difficulty is I always leak. All of us, we leak. Be filled. And here it's very much in the context of worship and living your life. So it's both those, isn't it? It's be careful how you live. Be filled with the Spirit in your daily life. But he goes on, if you look at the scripture, Ephesians 5, as it is read to us, it's in your worship, singing hymns and songs and the felt presence of God. I love that phrase, the felt presence of God in your worship. Go on being filled. It's not we fill ourselves, it's passive. Be filled by the Spirit. That's a wonderful one. And the next one, we're coming to the end of our bullet points. The next one is in creation.
In creation. The earth is full of your creatures. When you send your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth.
Isn't that lovely? Towards the end of Psalm 104, when somehow the psalmist sees the whole face of the earth being renewed by the Spirit. To see a world in a grain of sand. To see heaven in a wild flower, to hold eternity in the palm of your hand, as we will do in a few moments with a wafer of communion, and infinity in an hour. All infinity in this hour of worship we experience. so much around us, the Spirit of God renewing the face of the earth. And our last two, this one I've just called, we have no words, we have no words.
The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express.
Mm. Do you know this feeling? I just don't have any words. My prayers dry up. And that's a wonderful thing, actually, because you let words go. Your words dry up. And then the Spirit is there. The Spirit is there interceding for you. We don't know how to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for you with inarticulate groans. Someone said to me yesterday, said, I'm so glad that the Spirit does this because I've not got it in me. My prayer's just not there, but the Spirit's prayer in me. Prayer is the Spirit of Jesus in you praying to the Father. That's the Holy Trinity. It's a wonderful. Lord, just let me let go of all my words and everything that complicates my life and I struggle with. And this wonderful promise, I have no words, but the Spirit is there praying, interceding for us. And the last one here, the overflowing. We come back to who's got that? Well done, Jude. Thank you so much.
Overflowing. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which he has given us.
Beautiful. Jeff, you had a lovely illustration the other Sunday of a glass on the PowerPoint overflowing with water, just overflowing. Taken that image with me, and I've lived with it quite a lot, because it's such a wonderful image of the water being poured into a jug, and there's no limit to it. God's love floods our hearts, says Romans 5:8, St. Paul, through the Spirit that he has given us. God generously pours into our hearts, into our lives, the Holy Spirit. Enormous generosity of God. So Lord, we come to the end. I realize it's a lot in this, but I just pray your Spirit will lead us into one or two of these in these coming days, which just help us to realize how much your Spirit is at work in us, through us, and for us. And we're going to sing now those wonderful words, Spirit of Living God. Someone from St. Andrews, they sang this there the other week, and this person who's been a Christian so long, and this person said that she was overwhelmed by the words of this song. She'd often sung it, but then they just came again. The Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh. First of all, on me, and then we'll sing it again, on us. And then I think Diana's going to lead. Is that right, Peter? Yes, the worship, the prayer.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We just prayed, sung, to be filled with the Spirit, and there's a verse that says, if you ask anything according to his will, you know that he hears you. And if you know that he hears you, then you have obtained the request made of him. So why don't we start by, in our hearts, thanking God that he has filled us with more of his Spirit. This isn't to do with feelings necessarily. It's to do with faith. We've asked to be filled with more of him. That's exactly what God wants. So I'm going to allow a space, about a minute, when we just say, thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. In our darkness, in our mess, in our nudges, in our words, in our lives. Thank you, Lord. So this is our time to thank God for filling us. So, Father, thank you. And thank you also that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, who's not just in heaven, who lives in us. And thank you, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, or I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you. And he meant he's sending the Spirit. So I say, Lord, in your mercy, and we all say together, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So at this time of Jubilee, we celebrate the life of the Queen, who knows you and has been sustained by you and has said so. And we give thanks for the length of her reign, for the quality of the life, for the stability she's brought, for the sort of person she is. And there's a prayer on the prayer chain, which I'm going to read. It says, Lord God, we're urged in your word to pray for all in authority that we might live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Thank you for answering these prayers for Elizabeth, our Queen, and her example of godly living, sacrificial service for over 70 years. Please continue to shelter her with your everlasting love this Jubilee year and inspire and bless her life to the end of her days, that at the end you may say to her, well done, good and faithful servant. And Lord, we pray for her too as she watches all the things, that you'll sustain her. You'll strengthen her. You'll give her your peace. You'll give her the sense that she's done well. She's followed you. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, in your mercy, our prayer. And we continue to pray for Ukraine. This is where it's good we remember that we don't necessarily have the words, so the Spirit intercedes. Lord, we do not know what to pray. You've said your Spirit intercedes. And we recall, can we recall some image you've seen, some fact you've heard, some person you've seen fleeing? We pray for the Ukrainians, we pray for the Russians. Pray for President Putin. We pray for President Zelensky. And so, Lord, what do we pray? We pray for peace. We ask that you will be at work in this. We thank you that whatever happens, still you rule and you reign. You are enthroned in the heavens, and yet you are with us and you are there in the deepest darkness. We ask you to come alongside all who are afraid, who sit there with their children wondering if they can get out, some who are trapped, some who are injured. Lord, come alongside them. And we pray for their faith to sustain them also. And for those who worship today in Ukraine, come alongside them, Lord, and may they know the strengthening and empowering of your Spirit. Let's have a moment of silence. Bring your own prayers for Ukraine. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we bring to you, Lord, those who are struggling at this time and who are not well, particularly we think of Trish and Ken. And we bring to those, to the Lord, those you know in your heart. I can think of two people waiting for operations. Lord, we pray that they may be upheld and know your presence, even if, you know, if they ascend into the depths, you are there. If I say, let darkness cover me, even the darkness is not dark to you because of your Spirit. And may they find you. These people who are, perhaps all of us struggle in different ways, but those who are particularly struggling may find you their rock and their fortress, their redeemer, the one who upholds them. So could we hold together in our heart those we've prayed for and Jesus walking with them, strengthening them, bringing his great love to them. You might think of them in that icon. There they sit and the Holy Spirit comes. So, Lord, in your mercy,
in your
Lord, we bring to you ourselves, lastly, our own journey. Jesus has said of the Holy Spirit, you will know him. He lives with you and will be in you. That's absolutely amazing, really. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit lives in us. When we received Jesus in our lives, we didn't receive 2/3 of the Trinity, we received the Holy Spirit. Lord, we all need more of your Spirit, more of your love, more of your power. And so let's hold together for ourselves our own journeys and our fears and struggles and joys with the sense that Jesus has said, you will know the Holy Spirit. He lives with you and will be in you. And somehow let that, like a light, go into the week ahead, whatever you face. The Lord is with you. And so together at the end we say, I say, Merciful Father, and we have this response. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you like to stand as we share the peace with one another? We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And as we move into a time of communion, we will be singing more of the Spirit. And if you want more filling of the Spirit, could I encourage that all of us, perhaps when we've received communion, we then just move briefly to the back there where the prayer team will just pray for each one of us that we may be filled with the Spirit, and then we return to our seats. If that feels the right thing for you, please do take that opportunity just to have someone pray with you that you will be even more filled with the Spirit. Let's sing.
So as we come to this communion, this is God's creation redeemed. The wafer, the bread, the wine is all part of the body and blood of Jesus for us, for me, for you. And we do have non-alcoholic wine if you would like it, and we have gluten-free bread, a wafer as well. So just have a word with me and with Suki, who's going to help with the chalice. Or just if you feel able to remain standing, do. If you need to sit, please feel free to. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord. This day we give you thanks because in fulfillment of your promise, you pour out your Spirit upon us, filling us with your gifts, leading us into all truth, uniting peoples of many tongues in the confession of our faith. Your Spirit gives us grace to call you Father, to proclaim your gospel to all nations and to serve you as a royal priesthood. Therefore we join our voices with angels and archangels, with all those in whom the Spirit dwells, to proclaim the glory of your name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Would you be seated, please? Seated or kneel, whichever's best for you. Who, in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself, made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Together, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then can we say these words together through him. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. And together these sacred words that our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. If anybody wants more prayer for the Holy Spirit or whatever, the prayer team will still be at the back at the end. And if we are going to be sent out in the power of the Spirit, we want the God of burning cleansing flame to send the fire on us as he did on that first day of Pentecost. So let's stand and sing. Lord, we offer you these tokens of all the good things that you give us. We offer you our lives to be filled with your Spirit, that we may proclaim the good news of Jesus. We offer you all these things as we offer you ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. You may like to hold out your hands to receive God's blessing as we come to the end of our service. And so may the love of the Lord Jesus draw each one of us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us through his Spirit to work in his service. And the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. So, friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.